Good morning, Gashland family. It's good to be with you all today, and good morning to those of you who are joining us online this morning for our 10 o'clock service. If you're visiting, my name is Michael Moorfield. I'm the Associate Pastor of Discipleship here at Gashland, and we really are just delighted to have you for worship this morning. You know the childhood game, Follow the Leader? The game where you go wherever the leader goes? In a lot of ways, this game, it's a great depiction of what takes place in our life. And that's because we're all following someone in life. So the question to begin with this morning is, who are you following in life? Now, this is an important question. One that we shouldn't be quick to dismiss, because whoever we are following in life will serve as a guide for us. And today we're going to see, as we continue in our sermon series through the Gospel of John called Signs and Statements, that whoever we're following will guide us either into safety or they will guide us into danger. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to our text this morning, which is John chapter 10. And we're going to be taking a look at verses 1 through 21 this morning. Again, that's John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 21, and let's begin by reading verses 10 and 11 of our text. It says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what a gift your word is. Lord, we thank you that it is indeed holy and perfect. Lord, that's a reminder that we oftentimes need. And Lord, I pray this morning your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us into your truth. Lord, that you'd give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart to understand and know and love your truth. Lord, would you help us fall deeper in love with you this morning? Would you help us follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? We pray this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you were in danger, would you recognize it? If you encountered a thief, would you know it? And if so, how would you escape? A number of years ago, my uncle was driving home just after dark. He pulled his car into his garage, and before shutting his garage, he went to the side of his house to take care of a couple of things before he went in for the night. And as he was on the side of the house, he heard a car pull up near the driveway, and he assumed it was just one of his neighbors pulling up. In a matter of moments, though, my uncle, he hears a click. And he turns around, and he sees two men in hoodies pointing sawed-off shotguns at him, telling him to get into the garage. These men, they were robbers and thieves. And so these robbers, they take my uncle into the garage. One of them, with one hand, pins him to the back of his station wagon and is pointing a gun at him with the other hand. My uncle tells him to take his wallet. And this thief responds by saying, "Oh, we are going to take and take and take and take and take." Their intentions were clear. These thieves had come to steal, kill, destroy. Meanwhile, the other thief had went over to the garage door button that had been mounted on the wall near the door that led inside the house, and he had clicked the garage door button so that the garage would go down. And my uncle knew that as this garage door was going down, that his hope of surviving and escaping this situation was diminishing with every inch that door came down. Now, at this point of time, for whatever reason, the thief who had him pinned with one arm against the back of the station wagon decided to set his gun down against the car. And so my uncle knew he needed to act, but he needed to do it at just the right time. And so he waited until the garage door was about a foot and a half before hitting the ground. And then he swung his arm at the thief, pushing him to the side. He dove underground and rolled under the garage door right as it slammed shut. He then sprinted to a neighbor's house for help. He managed to survive and escape this terrifying situation. A situation that shook him up greatly. And this morning I tell this sobering story because our text reminds us of a sobering truth. That there is a spiritual thief who has come into our life to take and take and take. There's a spiritual thief who has come to steal, kill, and destroy, as we just read in our text. So the question is, how can we escape this spiritual thief? Where can we find safety and protection? Well, today we're going to discover the answer in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21, by asking three specific questions. Three specific questions. So let's begin by asking the first question, which is this: whose voice are you listening to in life? Whose voice are you listening to in life? When we come to John chapter 10, it's important to recognize that this is not a new scene in the Gospel of John, but rather it's a continuation of the story that we've been studying the past 2 weeks in John chapter 9. So let me remind you of what has taken place in John chapter 9. Jesus healed a man who was born blind on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, they're outraged at this. They declare that Jesus cannot be from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Yet other people in the crowd, they disagree with this. They say, how can a sinner do such signs? So the Pharisees, they interrogate this man who has just been healed over and over and over again, trying to get him to discredit the work that Jesus has done in his life. But this man who's been healed, he refuses to discredit the work of Jesus in his life. And when Jesus reveals himself to him as the Son of Man, as the Messiah, this man worships Jesus and believes. And so we're left at the end of John chapter 9 with this great contrast. On one hand, you have this man who was born blind, who is now spiritually seeing. And on the other hand, you have the Pharisees who, while they can physically see, they are spiritually blind. And this is why at the end of John chapter 9, we see that the Pharisees are in guilt. They're guilty of refusing to accept who Jesus is as the Messiah. And they're guilty for misleading the nation of Israel away from the truth of who Jesus is. And this is really important for us to keep in mind as we turn our attention now to John chapter 10. And let's go ahead and just begin by reading verses 1 through 6. And let's remember that Jesus is still talking to the same crowd from John chapter 9. And it says this: truly, truly, I say to you, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus is using an illustration here, a figure of speech, and it's one that the readers of John culturally would have been very familiar with. But we're not as familiar with this culture or this time, so let me just take a moment to explain the cultural context of this illustration. In villages, they would often keep sheep in shared or communal pens at nighttime. And in order to protect the sheep in this shared or communal pen at night, the village would do a number of things. First of all, the sheep pen would be made out of a rock wall. And they would put thorns or briars on top of this rock wall to keep out wild animals. Secondly, they would design the sheep pen with only one gate, with one door, so that access was limited. And then thirdly, they would hire a gatekeeper who would stand watch at this gate at night so that only those who had legitimate authority could have access and entry into the sheep pen, which would have been the shepherds of the sheep. So this meant if a robber was going to enter into the sheep pen, a robber couldn't use the gate because the gatekeeper was standing guard, so they would have to climb over the wall into the sheep pen. So now that we understand the cultural context of this illustration, the question is, what is Jesus illustrating? What is Jesus telling us through this figure of speech? Well, Jesus is telling us that there are two types of people who are trying to lead God's people. There are those with legitimate authority and those with illegitimate authority. Whose voice are you listening to? The Pharisees are those with illegitimate authority. They were not put into place by God. They are not the ones who have entered through the gate, but rather the ones who have climbed up over the wall. They are the false teachers. They are those who come to prey on the sheep, those who come to hurt the sheep, those who come to steal the sheep, those who come to kill the sheep. They're thieves and robbers. And what we need to know is that we experience thieves and robbers just like these in our life, in our day. False teachers and worldly influences abound that would seek to mislead us. Yet Jesus, on the other hand, he's the one who comes with legitimate authority. Jesus enters by the gate and the gatekeeper opens because Jesus is the true shepherd of the sheep. As Albert Mohler Jr., who's a commentator and theologian, he says this about this. He says, the point here in this passage is that no one could be more legitimate than the Son of God incarnate in human flesh. He is the one who legitimately comes for the sheep. He tells the sheep what the sheep need to hear. He brings truth to the sheep. He brings salvation to the sheep. He's the Lord of the sheep. So here's the conflict that we encounter in our life. There are two voices that are calling out to us. There are two voices that are trying to lead us in our life. One of these voices comes from the shepherd. The other voice comes from the thief. So the question is, how do we know which one is which? Well, the interesting thing about sheep is that they will follow whatever voice they're most familiar with. And this is why there wasn't any confusion over who sheep was who when various shepherds would use these communal and shared sheep pens in the villages. For the sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. So in the morning when the shepherd came and called out to the sheep would recognize their shepherd's voice and they would follow their shepherd. The sheep that did not recognize the shepherd's voice, they would remain in the pen. And we have to see is that the same is true for us. We will follow the voice that is most familiar to us. So if we want to protect ourselves from the thief, then we must know and be familiar with the voice of the shepherd. That's how we know which one is which. So let me ask you this. Is Jesus' voice familiar to you? Would you know it if you heard it? See, I think sadly, for us Christians even, the voice of Jesus is oftentimes the voice of a stranger in our life. We don't know the tone of our Savior's voice. This is because we haven't spent quantity or quality time with Jesus. We don't daily spend time in the Word to study His voice deeply and intimately. We don't spend time relationally with Jesus, learning, experiencing, and listening to His voice. So Jesus' voice is not the voice that we're familiar with. And do you want to know what happens when we don't recognize someone's voice? Well, verse 5 of our text, it tells us, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Right? It's just like what we do when we receive phone calls from phone numbers that we don't recognize or know. Right? What do you do when you get a phone call from a number that you don't recognize? You don't answer it. You ignore it. You reject it. And so if we don't recognize Jesus' voice in our life, then we won't follow him. This implies something else to us, though. If we're not following the voice of Jesus, the voice of our shepherd, then this means we're following another voice, the voice of the thief. And if we're following the voice of the thief, this also sadly implies that the voice of the thief is the voice we're most familiar with. And let me just say this for now. If we're following the voice of the thief in our life, we're following one whose motive is to steal, kill, and destroy. We are welcoming danger and destruction into our life. Yet for the believer, this should not be so. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus refuses to allow this to be so for those who belong to him. Take a look at verses 3 through 5 again. It says this. "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." See, what this tells us is that if we belong to Jesus, then we will know his voice. His voice will be familiar to us. And this is what a little later on in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 tells us very clearly. This is an amazing verse. It says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." This is a stunning verse. Jesus is telling us that the intimacy that we have with Jesus is like the intimacy that Jesus has with God the Father. Did you catch that? So as believers, one of our main goals in life should be to know and familiarize ourselves with our shepherd's voice. It should be the voice that we know best. It should be the voice that we depend on, the voice that we look to, the voice that we listen for, the voice that we long for and love, the voice that we are daily talking to. And here's the beauty. If we know the voice of our shepherd, then when the thief comes and tries to mislead us with his voice, we won't follow it because we recognize it as the voice of a stranger. And there's so much application right here for us. Because so often in life, we're misled in a number of ways. We are frequently deceived to believe lies in our life. We're frequently deceived to live in sinful or harmful ways. Yet here's the thing. If we would but know the voice of our shepherd, we could avoid these destructive and dangerous paths. We could avoid following the voice of the thief. So we can protect ourselves from the spiritual thief in our life if we listen to the voice of our shepherd. Secondly, the second question that we need to ask is, what door are we entering? What door are we entering? Let's take a look at the next section of our text, which is found in verses 7 through 10. It says this. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, it's first of all important for us to recognize that Jesus is slightly changing up the metaphor that he's using here in this passage. He is now describing himself as the door by which his sheep enter. And this is highly significant and important for us to understand today. This door is not just any door. This door and this door alone is the door by which salvation is found. This door and this door alone is the door by which security and provision is found. This door and this door alone is the door that provides life and life abundant. See, this door should be more precious to us than any other door in life. We should be living through this door. We should know exactly what this door looks like, what it feels like, where it's located. This door should be where we are found. Yet the truth is that even as Christians, this is a door that is often a forgotten door in our life. We often try to find life in other doors. In other words, we often try to find life in other places and things than Jesus. And when we do this, it's to our detriment. Where are you trying to find life this morning? Is it in your good works? Your possessions? Is it in your health and safety? Your achievements? Your relationships? Is it in your sinful desires? Your job, your busyness, your house projects? See, what we often fail to realize is that if we try to find life through any other door but Jesus, then we are entering the door of the thief who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I want you to think about this. What happens when a thief breaks into a jewelry store at night? Well, they steal all of the jewels. Right? The thief plunders and empties the store of all of its inventory, of all of its valuables, of all of its goods. And so when we enter the door of the thief, when we live in this door, what do you think happens to us? We are plundered by the thief. Our life is emptied by the thief. It is stolen by the thief. So instead of finding life, we're actually losing it. What door are you entering into this morning? What door are you living by? Life and life abundant is only found in Jesus' door. Let me describe it another way. I want you to pretend that you've gone to your favorite donut shop. Right? You buy all of your favorite donuts, and within a matter of no time, you knock back a half dozen. Right? You're a happy camper right now. And you know the perfect way to complete this outing is to wash down these donuts with some ice cold milk. So you open up your little mini milk carton that you bought at the donut shop, and you kick it back and you start to down it. But as soon as the milk hits your throat, you know something has tragically gone wrong. This milk, it is not cold, it is not refreshing, it is not icy. This milk is warm. This milk is chunky. This milk is spoiled. This milk is sour. See, this in a lot of ways, it describes what happens when we try to live life without Jesus. Life does not get better and fuller when we live how we want. When we live according to our sinful desires, when we try to find life in other doors, when we live life without Jesus, it sours. It spoils. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It goes awry. It's all wrong. We've all experienced this. I mean, can you think of ways in which your life has soured when you've tried to live without Jesus? It's probably not that difficult. It's not that hard. This is why Jesus tells us this morning, I am the door. Jesus does not say he is a door among many doors that lead to life. He says, I am the door. Jesus is the only way we're saved. Jesus is the only way we find life and life abundant. You know, it's interesting that as Christians, we often know Jesus is the only way that we're saved. Right? We know that. We confess that. We believe that. Yet practically in our life, we try to find life and life abundant in all kinds of other places and things than Jesus. Yet the Christian life is not only a call to believe in Jesus once, but to trust Jesus through every moment of our lives. So we need to stop this. We need to stop living by the door of the thief. We need to stop letting our lives be plundered, empty, spoiled, and soured. For life and life abundant is only found in Jesus. And that phrase, life and life abundant, it refers to a fullness that never dries. It speaks of a flourishing, of provision, of beauty, of delight, of laughter, joy, purpose, meaning, salvation. Right, this is what we have in Jesus. So if we want to protect ourselves from the spiritual thief, then we must enter by the door of the shepherd. Thirdly, the third question we need to ask is, who are we depending on for protection? Who are we depending on for protection? Let's take a look now at the last section of our text, verses 11 through 21. It says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There's again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon, he's insane, why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So in this last section of Jesus' illustration, he ends by giving us another great contrast in our text. On one hand, you have the good shepherd. And on the other hand, you have the hired hand. And the hired hand has no attachment whatsoever to the sheep. And that's because the sheep, they don't belong to them. He's merely working for his wages, and he doesn't care about the sheep. So when danger comes, the hired hand, he abandons the sheep. Out of self-preservation. He doesn't care if the sheep are killed. He only cares if he survives. And once again, Jesus is likely referring to the Pharisees here. The Pharisees are those who merely pretend to oversee and care for God's people. They do so only for earthly power and earthly gain. Right? That's their wage. Yet when trouble strikes the Pharisees, they're only interested in saving their own skin. It matters to them not what happens to God's people. And the scary thing to recognize for God's people in this situation is that the Pharisees are not just the hired hand. The Pharisees are also the thieves and robbers. The Pharisees are the wolves who have come to prey on the sheep. Who are we trusting to protect us? Who are we depending on to be there when it matters most? Who can we count on to not abandon us when trouble comes? See, what we need to realize this morning is that if we are listening to a voice other than the voice of Jesus, if we are entering a door other than that of the door of Jesus, then we are placing our trust in things and people that will abandon us when we need them most. Yet this is not so with the Good Shepherd. When the wolf or thief comes to take and take and take, the Good Shepherd does not abandon his sheep who are in mortal danger. Instead, he lays down his life for his sheep so that his sheep may live. And it's important to recognize and to realize that the shepherd's life is not being taken by these wolves or these robbers or these thieves, but rather it's being freely given by the shepherd. And that's an important distinction, because the shepherd was not overpowered by the wolves or the thieves. And in his death, he did not leave his sheep exposed so that the wolves and thieves could return to kill the sheep. Instead, the shepherd lays down his life on his own accord because he has the power to take it up again. The shepherd possesses the power of resurrection. So our shepherd resurrected from the dead to defeat death and sin and all of our enemies and anything that stands in the way between his electing love for us. So you see, when we think about what will protect us from the spiritual thief who has come to take and take and take, from the thief who has come to steal and kill and destroy, what will protect us from this great evil in the night? The answer is our good shepherd, the one who will never abandon us, the one who will lay down his life to protect us, the one who cannot be defeated, the one who possesses resurrection power, the one who is greater than the thief. So we can rest peacefully and safely in the night because we have a good shepherd who watches over us. We have a shepherd king, a shepherd savior. So let us listen to the voice of the shepherd. Let us enter by the door of the shepherd. And let us trust in the shepherd to protect us, because he and he alone will keep us safe from the spiritual thief in the night. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we recognize that we are sheep. Lord, sheep who have all wandered and gone astray. Lord, and in our wandering, we've pursued our own sinful desires. We have made ourselves lost. We have been seduced and misled by the voice of the thief who seeks to harm us, injure us, kill us. Yet, Lord, we're so thankful that you are our good shepherd, that you have put your claim upon us so that we belong to you, so that you know us by name and so that we know you, so that we have an intimacy with you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you fight for us. You defend us from the wolves and the thieves who come at us in this life. Lord, I pray that you would help us listen to your voice. Lord, that you would help us enter and live by your door. Lord, that you would help us trust you in all that we do. Lord, this morning we praise you because you are our good shepherd, our shepherd king, our shepherd savior. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.